This is OPB. I'm John Notariani. Oregon Senators Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley are teaming up with two unlikely allies on a piece of legislation, Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senator Rand Paul. The Democrats and Republicans don't often agree, but they're working together to push the Hemp Legalization Act of 2018 to legalize and clearly define hemp as an agricultural commodity and remove it from the list of controlled substances. The legislation has been included in the latest version of the Senate's Farm Bill. It passed the Senate's Agriculture Committee recently and is set for a full vote before the Senate soon. But the Farm Bill is a giant bill. It's notoriously difficult to reach bipartisan agreements on all of its components. With me to discuss the bill, why hemp is so important to the state, is Oregon Senator Ron Wyden. Good morning, Senator.
Thanks for having me.
So while I was preparing for this interview, one of our reporters stopped by and said, wait, hemp is illegal? I think that's a common bit of confusion. What is the current status of hemp in America?
Well, it is a controlled substance unless you enact the bill. And I started proposing legalizing hemp back in 2012, and the way it happened was my wife was pregnant with our third child, and we went to Costco near our house in southeast Portland, saw this huge bag of hemp hearts, and it was clear it was being promoted as a big bonanza in terms of holding down cholesterol, being a good source of protein. I looked at the bag, and I said, it's clear this can't be grown in our state. And I said, I'm going to introduce legislation to say, on the basis of what we have just seen on this visit to Costco, that if you can buy it at a major grocery store in Oregon, our farmers ought to be able to grow it. And my wife smiled and said, that's way too logical, dear. Now we've got it in the Farm Bill, and as you said, it's bipartisan.
I think that people are used to seeing hemp products. What is the difference between hemp and other cannabis products?
Hemp does not have the psychoactive properties of marijuana. That is the fundamental, you know, difference. And so most recently, I went on the floor of the Senate, and I said, hey, here is a Schedule I snack. Hey, over here is a Schedule I shirt to try to highlight the absurdity of hemp being treated as a controlled substance. If somebody tried to smoke hemp, the only thing they'd be doing is wasting their lighter fluid. The fact is, this can be a real job-creating growth industry for our state. We have several hundred farmers that are interested in this. My sense, and I said this on the floor as well, that I'm sure that farmers in Canada and China might not be very happy about this, because previously they've been laughing all the way to the bank because they would essentially grow it and presumably it would come to the United States. Maybe somebody would put it in a package in the United States. But it has been anti-common sense. It's been anti-farmer. I'm very grateful to Mitch McConnell for stepping up, because it's obviously helpful to have the Republican leader. By the way, Senator Schumer, the Democratic leader, is on the bill. So we've come a long way since 2012 when I introduced the first bill to legalize hemp. And I think we are well positioned to have it become law as part of the Farm Bill.
And I have to ask, how did it come to pass that you ended up collaborating with these staunch Republicans, Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul? How did that even come about?
The way it all started is after that little snapshot at the Costco. And Mitch McConnell, by the way, when he talks about hemp, he says, let me tell you about the story of Nancy and Ron Wyden at the Costco. He thinks it's a pretty illustrative example of how stupid this rule is. What we saw is farmers around the country began to go to their senators. And because hemp farmers in Kentucky feel particularly strongly, they went to Mitch McConnell, Republican leader, Senator Rand Paul. And of course, in Oregon, they had been talking to Senator Merkley and I. And all of a sudden, we had a bipartisan coalition and two states with lots of farmers really interested in this. And by the way, this legislation now has some pretty conservative chops. It is supported by the American Farm Bureau, you know, Federation, which is very often seen as kind of a bellwether for conservative politics with respect to agriculture. So I think given where we were literally 6 years ago when I introduced the bill to legalize it, and there weren't a lot of people around when I took that first step. And then over the years, what we did is kind of build on it. In 2014, we were able to get some pilot projects going. Then we began to get clarification from federal agencies about how the farmers might begin to use it and to try to resolve some of the conflicts between these outdated laws and what the farmers want to do. But now we are in a position to get full-fledged legalization.
So this hemp legalization is in the farm bill. But we're at this point where it seems like it's impossible for Democrats and Republicans to get along. We've seen these bitter partisan debates this year over things like health care and the tax bill. And you know, the farm bill already failed once in the House. And that's because the Republicans came to a stalemate over immigration, which is something that we still haven't nailed down. What sort of a road ahead? How rocky do you think it is going to be to get this farm bill through?
The Senate is very sensitive to rural voices. The Senate is overwhelmingly a rural body. You know, we have senators from Wyoming and North Dakota, which have quite small populations and very significant number of farmers. The other aspect of this is that most of what gets attention in Washington, D.C., is when you have some kind of, you know, armed battle where people are practically punching each other's lights out. For example, if you had told me in January of 2017 in a polarized Congress that Orrin Hatch, a conservative Republican, and I, progressive Democrat from Oregon, would get a 10-year program for the Children's Health Insurance Program, what's called CHIP. If you had told me back then that we would get 10 years of full funding for CHIP, I would have said, you're hallucinating. There's no way it can happen. And so on that, on our Families First bills, an alternative to foster care, updating the Medicare guarantee to start including chronic care, cancer, and diabetes, and heart disease. These efforts are bipartisan. They don't get the kind of attention that many of your colleagues, not OPB, in the news media want to talk about because there's a fight.
But even still, the farm bill has been something in previous years in less divided Congresses that has been a really bloody battle to try and come to an agreement. Are you worried? What sort of compromises do you think there's going to have to be to get this bill through?
Well, I am very troubled by the House provisions that really assault the hunger programs in America. That's probably going to be the biggest single hurdle in terms of reconciling the House and the Senate. And as I've said most recently, hunger doesn't take a summer vacation. One of the things I just appealed to your listeners on is the food banks really need volunteers in the summer months. You know, during November and December, during the holidays, everybody's there. They want to make sure people have food during the holidays. That's wonderful. But hunger doesn't take a summer vacation. A lot of the kids I meet in the summer basketball programs, police athletic league programs at noontime, they haven't had much to eat since the noon the day before. So I think that's going to probably be the biggest single hurdle between reconciling the House and the Senate, is the House really goes on a bender in terms of opposing the important hunger programs. That'll be our big challenge.
Of course, we've been talking about legalizing hemp. Hemp is a cannabis product. A few weeks ago, Senators Elizabeth Warren and Cory Gardner introduced this legislation that would allow states to pass their own marijuana laws without interference from the federal government. And surprisingly, the president came out and said that he'd probably support that bill. What did you think of that statement?
First of all, I'm a sponsor of the legislation.
Sure.
And I have felt for years on matters like death with dignity. I had to filibuster after the House voted to get rid of our death with dignity, you know, law. I have felt these kinds of measures historically ought to let the states, you know, lead on. Now, the president did indicate he might support it, as you know. Sometimes on Tuesday, the president says he's interested, and on Thursday, he says he's not so interested. But I'll tell you, this is also a question, particularly for conservatives, of whether you're going to be hypocritical or not, because conservatives are always talking about states' rights. If I had a nickel for every time I heard a conservative on the Senate floor talk about states' rights, I would be certainly a very fortunate guy. What they're really saying is that they believe in states' rights if they think the state is right. And so we'll see now if the president actually will support this.
Do you anticipate any kind of a bipartisan push for marijuana legalization within this administration?
Again, I would hope that we could get the bipartisan bill that you and I are talking about. But I do not see, for example, the Trump administration supporting the Booker bill, which really takes the Oregon law nationwide. I was the first senator to sign on as a co-sponsor to Senator Booker's bill. I think that's not very likely to see by way of the Trump administration supporting the Booker bill.
Senator Wyden, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.